Welcome to the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. Shane's a TV and radio personality, international event host, A&R label rep, co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, an all-around epic guy. This podcast is sponsored by Music Life Magazine. Check out all Shane's podcasts at musiclifemagazine.net. So much to talk about with so little time. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
All right, Shane here, BS Live Rocks, live from the Rock Pile in Toronto in the newly renovated some area that we're in. Anyway, Bruce Pilato, how you doing, man?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Great show tonight, the Platinum Rock All-Stars. And before we get into the band, I want to talk a little bit about you because you're kind of a celebrity as far as I'm concerned. Pilato.com, by the way, you got to check it out. This man has done everything. He's interviewed everybody. Talk about how you began your career in the music business.
I had a very interesting childhood. I grew up in Rochester, New York, upstate New York, and always into music. And when I was 8 years old, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, as did millions of others. But my father, who's an attorney, was on the board of directors for the big arena in Rochester. So he started taking me to, you know, the circus and stuff like that. And then one day the Rolling Stones came to Rochester, 1965.
You're a big band, eh?
Yeah, he said, you want to go see this band that your sister saw on Ed Sullivan? I said, yeah, you know, I was like 10 years old. And I was backstage and it was like, that was it. I was hooked. I mean, that was it. I just became completely engulfed in music. And because of his situation with this arena, I got to meet Jimi Hendrix. I got to meet Led Zeppelin. I got to meet The Who. I got to meet all these bands and I got pictures with them, you know, when I was like 13 and 14. And eventually I went to work in radio, and then I got my college degree in journalism, and I started writing for a lot of the big rock magazines. I wrote for USA Today, and I wrote for Hit Parader and Us Magazine and all that. And eventually I was going to move to New York and L.A. because I figured that's where I got to be for the action.
That's where the action is, right.
But what I realized is that Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse and those kinds of cities, and Hamilton, Canada, right, those were warm-up venues for the big tours. They would never want to play New York City until they were like 5 or 6 shows in. So a lot of tours would open in my area. So as a journalist, I had access to a lot of these rock stars before the New York writers or the LA writers. And that's how my career blew up because, you know, I would get these guys, you know, the first night of the tour. And by the time the tour reached LA, they're on the cover of the magazines. So, you know, I interviewed about 1,100 people in my career, including 3 of the 4 Beatles and the Stones, and I've done everybody from Marilyn Manson to Barry Manilow.
So I want to know more about your company. What does it encompass? There's a lot of different aspects to it.
Well, what ended up happening is the journalism thing went on for a long time, and then I got into record companies started calling me up and saying, would you write the liner notes for these box sets we're doing? So I did about 50 of those, and one of the box sets I did was Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and I got to become good friends with those guys. And then Greg Lake asked me, you know, he says, you know more than a lot of these managers I know. Why don't you help manage my career? You know, ELP had a manager, but they each had like an individual personal manager. So I worked for Greg for 12 years, and eventually he kind of semi-retired, and then I eventually became Carl Palmer's manager, and I still do Carl. In fact, he's playing tonight in Milwaukee. Hello, Carl. Hope you had a great show. And then from there, I got into doing a lot of other groups, and I started a PR company because I had the journalism thing, and I could do that. So I do PR for groups like Yes, and I did Meatloaf, and a lot of the classic rock guys that, you know, are out touring and need tour press. And then I developed the management thing with the ELP guys. That led to Asia, and I got involved with Asia when they reunited. That put me in touch with Jeff Downs, which...
Right. It all makes sense now.
Right. And then eventually I started working with Gene Cornish of the Rascals, and I'd known Carmine for a long time. And I'm on the board of directors for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame, so I've brought a lot of the celebrities in to perform at our event. And eventually some of these guys asked me to manage them. And I manage some Canadians. I manage Pat Travers' band. And I've worked with Kathy Sledge of Sister Sledge. So it's a pretty diverse roster, and... you know, I enjoy it.
Okay, so the Platinum Rock All-Stars, amazing band. And I want to go back to maybe something a few years ago when you were working with Ringo Starr. So this is where the concept came from, or with his All-Star band?
I was managing Greg Lake, and Ringo's manager at the time, David Fischoff, called me up and said, I was friends with David. He said, you know, could you help me put together a band for Ringo's next all-star band. And he goes, you know, we're interested in Greg Lake, and you manage him. So I brought Greg to the table, and I brought Ian Hunter to the table, and I had a relationship with the people who work with Sheila E., so, you know, I helped with that. And that was a very successful tour in 2001, and there's nothing like working for a Beatle. I mean, it's just like, it's a whole different, I mean, police escorts everywhere. It's just, it was crazy. But anyways, you know, the whole concept of the all-star band, I never, you know, I mean, Ringo is the blueprint. He does it, you know, really well. He used to change his band every tour. Now he's kind of kept the same band for the last few tours. And there's been a lot of all-star bands, but what had happened is I'd brought all these guys together with the exception of Jeff Downs for our, the Rochester Music Hall of Fame, and they I put a super group together to honor this musical institution called the House of Guitars in Rochester. And these guys all knew the House of Guitars and had shopped there. And they each did one of their hits, and they just blew the place away, 3,000 people at the Eastman Theater. So I said, you know, this could be a band. And then I was working with Jeff from Asia, and I said, we need a keyboard player, and brought him in. And Phil was part of this all-star thing in Rochester. And then I said, he should be the singer because he's kind of generic and neutral, and he can sing anything. You know, he's not tied to one, you know, career of music, you know. So, and it came together effortlessly. It was really great. I mean, the guys all get along. They're great friends. And, I mean, as you can see, it sounds amazing. And they only had two rehearsals.
So you're managing a band, but you're managing a lot of ego, too. So how did you kind of deal with all that?
I'm very finicky about who I get involved with. I'm 60 years old now, and I don't need hassles in my life. It's like if you're not grown up, if you're not going to take this seriously, if you're not going to be professional, if you're not going to have a good work ethic, sayonara. I mean, there's plenty of managers out there that can manage guys like Axl Rose. I don't need that in my life.
You know what? You've done a great job. This band sounds great. Plug your website once again.
It's pilato.com. That's P-I-L-A-T-O.com. And we're kind of a full-service entertainment company. We kind of do it all, publicity, marketing, management.
He's the man behind this awesome show tonight. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thanks. Great talking with you, Shane. Hopefully we can do more together.
All right. Awesome. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Visit Shane on Facebook at Shane C. Neal Media Personality. On Instagram at ShaneCNeal.com.